You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
My elementary school was the Trailblazers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. I have
Lewis and Clark.
That's kind of odd, but okay.
Lewis and Clark Trailblazers. So we're both Trailblazers of a sort.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Are you struggling to say the word Trailblazers? Both,
I think I'm just struggling to talk so far.
Twice in a row, I just heard you go, yeah, we're Trailblazers. We're both Trailblazers.
Say Trailblazers. Portland. Turn off your mic.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We have a last week on. It makes its return after a few weeks off. It needed a break. By it, I mean Beards. But I have truly terrible news.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I think that little boy's coming back.
News! Get out of here. Menards guy Ray Samazda, who said save big money, dies at 91.
That's sad.
Truly terrible news. He was 91, so I feel like it's okay to say our goodbyes. But now any news that has anything to do with Menards immediately connects with me in a spiritual way.
So next time you have a remote at Menards, are you going to, like, wear all black?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, head to toe. So I'm going to wear a suit.
Fair.
That only cost me, like, $3 because I'm going to save big money.
That's also
that
fair.
Suit. I wonder if Menards sells suits.
Probably.
I haven't seen that they do, but it doesn't mean that they don't.
There's probably, like, one.
And it's hidden because it's 13 cents. Because you save big money. They can't have everybody saving that much big money, that big of money, that they'd go out of business.
Totally.
All right, last week on, I missed you. Hope you don't let me down.
Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
Beard, your microphone has been on for this entire show, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Good thing I didn't go on a cursing tirade.
That's honestly what I was
doing. God damn!
I was waiting for you to mumble a curse. Alexa, play I Will Always Love You. I have so much stuff to talk about today from the draft and everything.
You're literally foaming from the mouth.
I was sneezed. Sneeze isn't foam necessarily. It's sneeze.
You were literally sneezing at the mouth.
That's true. Hey Siri, play the Cupid Shuffle on repeat. Forever, Trez Paylor, who's now, by the way, moving on to Yahoo Sports, leaving Kansas City, which makes me very sad because he's an incredibly good reporter. Go tweet Trez and tell him goodbye. And he's dead to us now. Not this show specifically. He
don't want you around anymore.
Right, yeah, run him out of town. For his damn his success.
Quitter!
Alexa, Simon says Joshua Briscoe is the fourth best sports talk radio host in Kansas City.
Today we legitimately could have done a 4-hour show with our eyes closed.
I did a 2-hour show with my eyes closed today.
Alexa, subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Do I need to turn your mic off so that you can sneeze into the... Or are we just going to go with it?
Oh, wow. That was a slow burn.
The face that you made as you were winding up to sneeze looked like you were about to burst into tears.
Alexa, call ex-girlfriend. Tell her I'm sorry. Hey, Beards, how many times in the last 7 days have you gone to Slim Chickens? Do not make a joke. Say truthfully, how many times in the last 7 days you've gone to Slim Chickens?
Well, if we extend this out to last Monday, it would be 4.
That's
oh, my God.
That's
good Lord,
to,
man.
To the same place.
Oh, 5. No, I went to Lawrence over the weekend.
Oh,
as well.
No.
Hey, Siri, text Mom. Tell her I need some money ASAP. Analog clocks squared. Plus, long division squared equals
Donald McGregor.
Sex squared.
Okay, Google, unfollow Joshua Briscoe.
No.
They always makes me so happy. Why do you hate last week on so much, Beard?
There's just a lot of work involved.
Boo hoo!
Almost entirely complaining.
Boo hoo! So good. We need to have those just so whenever people, like, ask what I do for a living or, like, whenever we need to, like,
we also
like
have
give
last
it to advertisers or something.
Yeah.
We need to be able to give them that. I want to give them that new.
That's
stuff
fair.
Like that. Hey, this is what happened. This is, you know what? This is we're not cherry picking the best things we've ever done on the show. Here's just some of the good stuff we did, like, I don't know,
last week. 2 minutes worth. Sometimes 2.5.
Sex squared. Come on, man. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful disaster.
What I really hope got accomplished from this last week on is that everybody's phones Amazon Echoes just started all going off at the same time.
Yes, that is also my hope.
And then they stopped it, and then the next clip played, and then they had to do it again.
Yes.
I just want to make everybody mad.
I hope everyone subscribed to the podcast.
And unfollowed you on Twitter.
Can't we use this? If you actually can use voice commands to follow or unfollow people on Twitter, we should be able to use this power for good and evil.
Oh, totally.
Like, who should have less Twitter followers?
Ooh. I mean, besides you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm not going to use that power for evil against myself.
Is Charlie listening?
I don't feel like he's a big enough target.
That's also fair.
I want to chip away at a power greater than us, or a threat, perhaps. I'd like to identify a threat. Let's... Kent Swanson just tweeted us and said that he would eat at Slim Chickens 4 times a week if he could.
I ate there today.
Kent might be... Did you really?
I did.
My God.
It was good.
Kent might be bordering on a threat level. Okay, Google.
I'm sorry, Kent.
Okay, Google.
See if my... Oh, no. My phone won't do it because my...
No,
my,
turn off. I got okay. one. I've got one. Turn, but just let the speakers take over here. Okay, Google. Find that weird, creepy swinger guy from Power and Light, please. Tell him to delete my number.
Friend him on LinkedIn. He's probably a MySpace guy, let's be honest.
Okay, Google, search Facebook for swingers.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, that's awesome. Also, Derek Johnson's officially a Raider, by the way.
Hey, Siri, unfollow Derek Johnson on Twitter.
It's very good. It's a very good one. Also, you know the shot after LeBron had the game winner against the Raptors? I don't know if this is DeRozan or Lowry. I know they have two players that they would have shown a picture of. Who is this, Beards?
That's Lowry.
There's a picture of Kyle Lowry that I've seen a bunch since then of him just like looking like he kind of can't believe what just happened. And also that he can absolutely believe what just happened because it was LeBron.
And they're the Raptors.
Right.
The LeBronto Craptors.
But James just tweeted that screenshot to me with, this is how I picture your face when he grabbed your arm. And it is so perfect. Because he's not like, he's not angry and he's not sad. He's definitely not happy.
No.
There's just kind of this look of like,
well,
this is a thing that's happening and I can't do anything about it. It's triple zeros up there, and in my situation, he's currently squeezing my arm. Lowry face.
Resting Lowry face?
I wouldn't say it's resting. I think it requires a very particular set of circumstances for me to have that expression.
Well, that's not as good for a hashtag. Hashtag is a special set of circumstances, Lowry face. See, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
Hashtag
well.
Swingers face. I think that's going to give you some other...
Okay.
Search the hashtag. Beard is doing it.
Okay, Google. Search hashtag swingers face. Oh, boy. Let's see what this does.
Yeah, I'm going to just wait. At this point, I'm just a viewer. I'm just
come
a
on.
Spectator.
I'm getting really nervous. It's thinking for a long time.
Google's like, are you sure you want me to do that? Hello, Nathan. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't.
Oh
do
no!
That.
It calls me Beards.
It does.
I don't know.
Oh, we should change that.
Okay, it's not. It's going to be slow. So let's go to Twitter. We're going to have to do this manually. Hashtag swing. Not SW. There we go. Swingers.
I said plural. If we're going to stay true
swingers
to the thing I just said.
Face.
Chiefs have signed 6th round draft pick.
No Smith. Results.
Wow, at all?
Nothing.
All right, we'll try it non-pluralized. I'm surprised there's not anything. That's kind of sad. Wow. What a letdown. All right, now just go Google it.
Ooh, that's even worse. Oh, just, fair point. Don't search swingers by itself.
Yeah? You just learned that all at once?
Yeah.
Look at you learning lessons from the internet.
Swingers face. Let's see. No results. No results for hashtag swingers face.
All right. Bullet dodge then.
There is a headline from the Daily Telegraph. Hang on. I think that little boy is beating down the door. News! From 2009, Iranian swingers face stoning to death.
Oh my gosh!
2013, Braves free swingers face off, or face Dodgers staff of aces.
I'm sorry, I yawned a little bit and my eyes started watering because all of my senses are just turned up to 100,000.
This has been an interesting show.
I've enjoyed today's show.
Okay, close Google. As I was scrolling down the Google page, it was getting a little,
Yeah, it was starting to get sketchy as you went.
Well, let's just say...
Go ahead, here you go.
Oh boy.
Here it is. I did watch plenty of NBA playoffs this weekend. I know Beards also watched plenty of NBA playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't... I don't feel like I learned a single thing. You know what? No, I don't think I have a single remaining question about any of the series currently going on right now.
Maybe the Boston-Philly one, just because that's like...
What's the question? Will the Celtics get swept or not? Or will the Sixers get swept or not?
More just kind of like the how will they respond, because I don't think...
Did you hear the SportsCenter hit of... I can't remember who it was that was talking, saying you got to have 12 guys who want to win the game. You can't have anybody checked out. And it made me think that guy has never watched a Celtics... A Cavs game.
Oh, true.
Because the Cleveland... If you have LeBron, you do not need 12 engaged players. You need one. You need LeBron and four bodies. Did you see the SNL skit? It was very fun. It didn't even make the actual broadcast, I guess. The Donald Glover skit, yeah, of the other Cavaliers. Uh-huh. It was very funny.
There were some funny clips from that.
Yeah, it was funny. But, like, I don't...
The hot potato offense. They catch the ball and they throw it right back.
Super accurate.
Yes.
I guess you can create a little bit of a conversation around, like, will they bounce back tonight? And then
they looked so dominant in the first round against Miami. And then they came into the Celtics series where it took Boston 7 games to beat Milwaukee.
For sure.
And then it was like, oh, Boston destroyed them so far.
No, that series is interesting.
Yes.
For those reasons. That's the one that you look at and go, what is going on? But I don't have any questions about it now, really.
Oh, no, nobody's ever come back from 3-0. From 3-0. There's only been a certain number of times they forced a game 7.
And if you just looked at the rosters, then you might say, you know what? If there was a time
that's
you were
weird,
to take
yes.
it, this is
that's
it.
That's very weird. It's like Terry Rozier and a rookie Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris.
Oh, God. I forgot
and Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And they're just destroying the Sixers. And Boston center is guarding Philly's point guard.
It's insane.
Al Horford is guarding Ben Simmons shutting him down.
And... Also, one thing that did make me wonder a little bit is, like, I know that the Heat have 100,000 problems with Hassan Whiteside, and, like, mm-hmm. they're just ready for him to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Max deal notwithstanding. But I had heard a little bit about and seen a little bit about how the Celtics were dealing with Ben Simmons, and I couldn't help but think, like, what would have happened if they would have given Whiteside a little bit of that just to see what happens? Try to oversize Ben Simmons.
Well, Horford's just... way more athletic than you think he is.
No,
he's a lot faster than you think he is.
Totally.
Like, Whiteside's the protect the paint, I'm going to get my blocks.
He's the stiffest max player in the modern NBA. It was really bad timing for the Heat to decide to give him a max contract.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, like, is there nothing else the Heat could have done? Because right now the Sixers look so beatable by an equally talented team at worst, right? Like, do the currently constituted Cavaliers have a player better than Goran Dragic?
You mean other than LeBron?
I meant Celtics. Every time I'm going to screw that up.
I'd say Horford is, probably.
Really, those are two comparably talented teams, right?
Sure. Well, yeah, Boston's actually deeper than you'd think.
They have no starters left. They're exclusively playing the B team.
I don't understand what I'm saying. I'm just letting Brad. I'm letting Brad Stevens and LeBron just be like wizards, and none of the rest of this matters. I'm just going to assume that both of them have extraterrestrial powers. LeBron is being like a warlock who just will dominate the sport for the rest of time. Brad Stevens is like Magneto or something. Like, he is using his mind powers to make things happen. This is the only way I've been able to bring all of this together. This is my new way of accepting the current NBA.
I was watching the end of the Celtics-Sixers game where it went into overtime, and they dripped that play at the end for Boston to win it.
Yeah.
And it was that lob over the head so Horford got the wide-open layup. And I just looked at Matt and Ad, and we were like, well, of course he got a wide-open shot.
And did that to force overtime also,
right?
No.
No, the Sixers hit a crazy shot at the end.
Okay, they
overtime.
Did that. That was the second time the Celtics had used that play recently. I can't place where it was off the top of my head.
I only ended up seeing, like, overtime of that game.
Okay. But yeah, so like in the Sixers game, Sixers.
Well, and then they came back from 20 down in game 2-1.
Yeah,
at home.
No, that's the most interesting series.
Boston's got a crazy home crowd, so that helps.
I wonder how much that'll help.
Role players play better at home. They do.
It's fine. It's just.
No, it's a crazy series.
It's bizarre. It's a but if you would have gotten me after game 2. Talking about this, then yeah, I would have said that that's the series with the most intrigue. Right now, though, like, let's say that the Sixers win at home tonight. Again, the game is going on right now. Then it's 3-1, and then maybe it's 3-2 if they win at home again. And I just can't bring myself to think that that series, even if they get to 3-2, actually has the life in it. Because the Celtics have looked so good, even without, like, any solidly logical explanation outside of Al Horford.
And Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum have both been awesome as well.
Right. I maintain that there is no answer to whatever question we're asking because...
And just Brad Stevens is a better coach than Brett Brown.
Brad Stevens has to be a better coach than everybody on the planet because of how much... Like, just of how much talent they lost. Like, I think we give a lot of
Boston
credit...
Boston Philly's playing right now as well.
I did say that twice.
Okay. I don't remember.
We give guys a lot of slack sometimes when it's not on any of your TVs.
No!
We give coaches a lot of slack whenever they just, like, have to adjust to things. And I guess they had plenty of time to adjust to no Gordon Hayward. And they had a little bit of time to adjust to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, they had to no Gordon Hayward.
Right.
They were basically without Gordon Hayward all year.
I know. Kyrie, less than that.
Yes. Last month or so.
But
a little longer.
I think we would have given the Celtics... If they would have gotten bounced by the Bucks in the first round, no one on the planet would have called that a bad coaching job.
Probably not.
For them to end up in the conference finals is just wild to me.
With the collection of guys that they have, yeah.
Yes, with not only the talent they currently have, but also the fact that this was not the intended team to get there. Like I don't think we can give too much credit to Brad Stevens for that reason. Because we give coaches in every sport every excuse for stuff like this, just always. And now I can't help but wonder, like, what does Brad Stevens do in any number of different situations right now? Like, what does he do with Blake Griffin and outside of that, a worse roster?
If he were on the Pistons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what does he do with the Pistons? What does he do with next year's Suns team? They just hired the first European-born coach, an NBA head coach in NBA history. They're going to have some really talented players. They're going to have Booker and Josh Jackson in a top 3 pick next year. Is Brad Stevens is he a cheat code in the sport right now? And I don't know. I don't one thing that I feel like, and Beards, you at least like consume an incredible amount of NBA, of smart NBA commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this exists. I don't feel like I've heard anyone try to even explain how Brad Stevens is doing it other than just being himself, which is something I heard from Jeff Van Gundy.
Some of that's just consuming as much information as you can about the sport. Some of that's just being able to really connect with the players and stuff so that they buy into that. Like, I don't remember who. I think it was Evan Turner I heard talking about this. Or somebody was telling a story that Evan Turner told that. Like, Stevens pulled him aside on the sideline or whatever when he was there. And he was really intense with him in terms of, like, the words he was using. But just on his face, he was completely stone and calm and all that stuff. And it was like, if you'd have just been looking at that from afar, you would have been just, oh, that's a normal conversation.
Right.
But then he's like actually really chewing him out right there. And it's just like, he doesn't let everybody else see that he's chewing you out.
Yeah.
So that allows the players to buy in a little bit more.
And that, like, that is all interesting and mm-hmm. well and good.
Well, and it's also, part of that is also the GM has done a really good job. They've got a good team built there.
But I don't feel like I heard anyone saying that until they were still winning. I don't know what this roster does in Detroit. I was introduced because Stanton got fired too.
Well, yeah, that was also just different situation
for sure. I find it terribly interesting, and we get a little bit of that with the conversations that we had around Steve Kerr. I don't know, a few months ago, where like it sounds like the culture there is fantastic, and it sounds like mm-hmm. the players love being there. But I imagine that Steve Kerr's job, if it's not simply easier, it's definitely different, because Steve Kerr's job is managing the best basketball talent in the world ever compiled in one place, except for Olympic teams. And that's a different job than winning with Terry Rozier.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is like a lot of containing egos as well.
For sure. Yeah. It's a different gig. If you put Brad Stevens in that situation, and they talked about how he connected with them and the climate he created and everything, uh-huh. the culture, I'd be like, oh, yeah, man, that sounds like a great scenario. It sounds like he is absolutely crushing it there. Good for them.
Remember when Steve Kerr had the choice between the Warriors and the Knicks?
I do remember that. that's one of those things where I wonder if it matters where... Here,
the Knicks have gone through two coaches since then?
So here's the thing.
In four years.
It seems like to me...
Yeah, 4 years.
Brad Stevens could do this anywhere that isn't an absolutely toxic pool of sludge. Which
so
maybe the Knicks are, maybe the Kings are, maybe the Suns are.
Maybe. Well.
They might be a talented pool of sludge.
Sure.
Everything around there seems to be terrible always. But outside of a toxic pool of sludge, it seems like Brad Stevens could succeed. I don't know what Steve Kerr does with a less than top tier talented team, because he hasn't had to do that. And again, this isn't about knocking Steve Kerr. It's about the fact that with what Brad Stevens is doing with the Celtics right now, it's one of the few times in sports when I feel like I'm watching something and I don't know what's happening.
Also, don't forget Brad Stevens got to back-to-back championship games in college before he went to the NBA.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, a tremendous coach, but doing it with this Celtics team and then doing it with Butler, like he's been doing it with less than the best talent, which makes me think that he is a coach that is unable to be overpraised. Like, one of the things that Bill Self does so well is to have the best talent, mm-hmm. but also like this. Bill Self didn't build Kansas basketball. I think sometimes maybe we could actually like take a step back and realize that, you know, cumulatively together sometimes. A great coach, seems like a really good dude that really connects with his players and obviously mm-hmm. gets great results. This isn't about Bill Self either. But I don't know what Bill Self would do. If you drop Bill Self right now into a smaller program, I'm sure he would have success.
Or just say, go to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think he would have success. I don't know if he would be Kansas. I don't know if he would build Kansas. I don't know. And, you know, it would depend on the... If he just left on his own accord, had nothing to do with any NCAA thing.
Like,
whatever.
If you dropped him in there right now, I mean, maybe, just because he's got that reputation.
Right.
But just, like, just completely change it to where he didn't go to KU, instead he went to, like, Oklahoma or whatever,
right.
Probably not.
If he would have just stayed at one of his previous stops.
Yeah.
That's the thing that that's so impossible to quantify, because we talk about the greatest coaches. And obviously, we talk about the greatest teams in their sports. The places where I find it the most interesting to figure out, to try to hone in on where the best coaches are doing the best work, is to find situations where you don't expect it. And I don't think anybody saw this Celtics roster at the beginning of the playoffs and thought, that team is going to...
the conference finals.
And maybe sweep the Sixers on the way there.
A team that won 16 games in a row
to
end the regular season
and
then just dismantled Miami, and everybody said, oh, this team could actually maybe beat the Cavs.
Yep. That team gets swept on the way by...
with the rookie of the
Terry
year.
Terry Rozier.
And Joel Embiid.
Yeah. So that's where I look at at coaching jobs and try to identify where that's happening. And it, again, it's different from sport to sport, but also, like, I'm interested in whenever, like, there are what, like, five or six NBA teams without a head coach right now? The Suns obviously just hired a new
Bucks
one.
Bucks don't have one. Detroit now doesn't have one.
They should have. Did Charlotte fire their...
They
showed a graphic on ESPN earlier.
Charlotte. The Hawks don't.
The Hawks was another one that was on the list for sure.
Yeah.
If I was the Bucks right now, and now this is a team that has one of the most alien-ish talented players in the world.
And a couple other guys that could be really good.
Yeah, good roster.
Yes.
But if I was the Bucks or the Hawks or literally anybody, I would be most interested in trying to find guys who have had success in college at smaller programs. That wouldn't scare me as much as it would entice me, because I want to find coaches that made something where there wasn't something existing already.
Well, like, I can't think of the Bulls head coach now. Hoiberg. He was the Iowa State guy.
Yeah.
And then he came to the NBA and he hasn't really been good.
No.
Billy Donovan's only lucked out because he's had Russell Westbrook and then Paul George.
He got the talent.
And they just got beat in the first round 2 years in a row.
And I think that's where I would be headed, Hoiberg notwithstanding. And also, like, Jay Wright just seems to be a full-on basketball coach. And Villanova's kind of an interesting
study. Well, I remember after UConn won the championship, there's a lot of Kevin Ollie.
Yep.
That
didn't last very
long. No, to Oklahoma City or whatever, mm-hmm. or the Lakers or mm-hmm. something. And now, didn't he just get fired or something?
He doesn't even coach at UConn anymore. Yep.
It's just kind of like the hot new thing.
It's obviously a gamble, but, like, at this point, so is literally everyone, I guess. I was going to just try to pick a random fired head coach. If Stan Van Gundy isn't safe, no one is. And I think that's the place where I'd want to gamble. I want to find the guy that made something where there wasn't something existing yet. Maybe if I was an NBA GM, maybe that would get me fired in 3 years. I don't know.
Maybe.
But that's what I would do. I would also currently offer Brad Stephens an ownership stake in whatever team I owned. That never backfires.
No.
I would John Gruden the hell out of Brad Stephens. And then watch him bring only 45-year-old players in. How do we talk about Brad Stephens for 20 minutes? Is that the most sports radio segment we've ever done?
I don't know. We just started talking about, like, NBA stuff, and then it divulged into Celtics and Stevens.
And just slurping Brad
Stevens. Oh, yeah, somebody put the... Oh, no, that's just highlights, I think. Dang it.
I have it on my TV now. So maybe if you change it, maybe it's other
channel. Well, it's on ESPN. Yeah, they're just showing highlights. Poop.
Try the other channel.
It's still on ESPN as well, I think.
Well, they changed one of mine.
Yay!
Ah, darn it. We lost period for the show. All right, this concludes Almost Entirely Slurping Brad Stephens.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
It actually, it's kind of funny at this point. Like, I definitely see beards more than I see anyone in my own family. By a good stretch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens.
With Joshua Briscoe.
It's also interesting.
I live at home.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Did we start this show by recording through, like, an aquarium?
I don't know. There are a couple shows in there that kind of got weird, with their levels and stuff.
If you thought this show's been very sportsy so far, whenever we podcast the first hour later, you can go back and listen to a 45-minute discussion of how Renee and I were proposed by a swinger at downtown Kansas City last night, or Saturday night. Not a joke. Real story thing that happened. Also, Nathan, my cousin, just commented straight brick on that toss of the chapstick. It was not. I crushed it. I'm getting extremely good. I'm always good at like different like paper shooting into the trash can things because, and this is something that I'm exhibiting now, because I have allergies so bad in the spring and I'm usually good for at least one solid cold every winter. I'm very good at shooting used tissues into trash cans. And so this trash can here is in the corner of the studio, so I even have, like, two backboards, basically.
Oh, yeah, you got it easy.
Yeah. I don't use the backboard, though. Because it's the foam padding on the walls. I don't like to bet on that.
I'm all about those swishes. Because can you share what you told me whenever we went to break about your preseason NBA predictions?
Oh, I said during our little NBA preview special that went super well.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I think the Sixers over or under was like at 40-some wins, and yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, take everything you own, your child's college tuition, everything, mortgage your house, everything you can do, and bet everything on the Sixers under. Yep. They won 50 games, I think, this year.
Can you go back and listen to your predictions and do like a supercut of that for later in the week?
Maybe. I'll have to find which show that was, but yeah.
I would love to get a report card for how you did.
I think I actually have my notes from that somewhere still.
So, I would love to tomorrow, Wednesday, sometime this week, I would love to go back and see if everyone would have bet $100 on each of your predictions. I would like to know.
I think the way I did it was more just like kind of tier rankings of where I thought teams were. So I had like
go back
the bad teams.
Go find the audio and figure out where you gave advice.
I also think I didn't have Utah making the playoffs.
I mean, you're probably in good company on that.
Yeah.
Again, before I go back to talking about the NBA playoffs one more time, go back and listen to the first hour of today's podcast. Renee and I were both hit on by the same man at Power and Light this weekend. It's a good story. Spoiler alert, that's how it ends. Sort of? There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack around it. The other things in the NBA this weekend that like I started to watch some Rockets Jazz and I watched some Warriors Pelicans. And I just couldn't be bothered to stick with either of those games because the Pelicans won the first game, or not the first game, but game three, the first game of the weekend. Or maybe it was Friday. It was Friday. They won that game by 20, and then the Warriors won game four by 26.
Durant had like 38.
And then the Rockets won by 20 on Friday, and then they won by almost 20 again.
Yeah, 38, 9, and 5.
That on yesterday.
So pretty good.
Yeah, not a bad
Durant guy.
Reports indicate he's good.
He's at least.
Also, I don't know who it is, but I can't remember his name. But I love the fact that that the Celtics have discount Gordon Hayward.
Oh, Aaron Baines?
Sure,
the guy for shooting free throws.
Yes,
yeah,
with the little top knot,
the Australian guy,
and the scraggly beard.
Uh huh.
Yeah, big fan of the fact that they literally just have like that's Gordon Hayward after like living under a bridge for 6 months,
probably.
I don't know if they needed a loophole to get him back on the roster, but I'm guessing that's what they did. Love that they have him. They're having Hayward come in for him occasionally, like they're having the Morris twins sub in for each other.
That's always my favorite.
They have to have done that at least once, right? Were they like just switched
like you
cities for a day?
I feel like their teammates would have noticed that because like all of a sudden they can't. They don't know what plays they're running.
You think that's a one-time event for a Morris twin? You think usually the Morris twins seem to be very, very comfortable with everything they're doing?
That's fair.
Also, they played for the Suns together for a while. They at least switched jerseys, right?
That would be great if they did.
Come on. They had to have. How many meaningful games did they really play? And there was a handful. They were contending a few times, but they had to have given that at least one go. Parent trap it or whatever. That was a parent trap,
yeah, parent
right?
Trap.
Where they switched. So, like, the Celtics-Sixers series is the most interesting for the reason that we discussed for the last 30 minutes, apparently, which was weird for us.
Super weird.
And LeBron is a genius, as a genius wizard warlock. I do not want to go to a Jordan and LeBron debate or conversation or whatever. I really don't.
But
I heard it was Mike Greenberg. It was a clip that was on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the reason I clicked it is beyond my comprehension. But he said that you can't say you don't have to say that LeBron is better than Jordan, but you can't say that Jordan is better than LeBron. And so if you just let them be the greatest, if you let them be the greatest, we would have a much easier time like in our society as a whole. But it will never happen because we have to have we have to have first take. If we did that more often, first take would cease to exist. It would just blink out of existence and it would be wiped from our memories. But I thought that was kind of an interesting perspective.
Strange.
Why is it strange?
You can say one's better than the other, but you can't say the other one's better than...
You don't have to say that LeBron is better than Jordan, but at this point you sound silly if you say that Jordan is definitively better than LeBron. It's just putting them on an equal... He's saying that specifically to people that would still argue Jordan.
Like me.
Just put them on an even playing field. Lebatard said today that LeBron is doing everything that Jordan did, but like 20 pounds heavier, maybe 40 pounds heavier. I can't remember what the comparison was, and I also think that is worth noting, but whatever. I don't actually want to have this conversation with you. Sometime you and Derek can get together and have an ESPN Kansas City powwow where you both tell each other how great Jordan was and how LeBron is a bum.
I'm good.
You guys can do that together. That might be the one take where you both, the two of you guys both inhabit the same real estate. You guys can get together and just pat each other on the back while regaling the days of old. Back when you were like 4 and you saw the greatest. I don't actually want to talk about it though. Speaking of LeBron being a warlock, I do need some help.
Okay.
Tuesday night, tomorrow night, my housemates and I, a handful of whatever, it's some of my housemates and me and also Renee, because she basically lives there but doesn't pay rent like a freaking slacker. Trying to get squatters' rights on our living room.
Renee.
We are starting our first house Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Oh, boy.
And my character is ready to go.
Uh-huh.
But I am open to names.
Okay.
And I thought the best way for me to do this would be to open it up to you and to Facebook and to Twitter.
Okay.
To help me flesh out the naming situation for my character. Go ahead, Beards. You already opened your mouth once. What? Go ahead.
Dick Justice. Easy.
Dang.
That's what I named one of my Dark Souls characters.
Oh, that is good. Currently, I have a notepad in front of me that just says Brad Stevens and Dick Justice. Maybe I'll name my character Dick Justice. Okay. That's very good. Currently, my character is named Jorts Jackson. Which I also like a lot.
Not awful.
Not awful. My previous character that I maybe didn't actually play with was, his name was Cold Brew. Spelled completely differently, probably. I don't remember. But I went to this through this website that my friend was like, hey, do this. And it's basically like TurboTax for creating a D&D character. And it really is. It was super easy.
Uh-huh.
By going through, it's a dragonborn sorcerer, so he's humanoid, but with like he looks like a humanoid dragon.
Right, that's what one does when they're a dragonborn.
Just try. I'm explaining. I don't assume that everyone listening has the knowledge.
Unless
base
you play
that you
Skyrim
do.
When dragonborn needs something else, but anyway.
Yeah. See, yeah. And I imagine.
I'm being nerdy.
No. That's we need that. Beards. I'm asking about my D&D character.
That's fair. I've only played D&D once though.
I've never played a full campaign. I think I played one time as a one-off.
Happened. Yeah.
And it wasn't fun.
Like, we played for a couple hours, and then we were just like, yeah, I'm kind of bored. You want to do something else here?
100%.
And then we just left it there, and then we were like, oh, I guess we're leaving now.
That's why I'm excited
Bye,
to play.
D&D board.
That's why I'm excited to play, like a planned-out, like, campaign with, like, funny, like, improv-minded people.
I just remember we went to, like, a bar or something, like, dirt in the world.
Okay.
And, like, the floor caved in or something, and there was, like, a bar fight. So that's all I remember.
Good.
I think that's as far as we got.
In my one-off, we fought some spiders, and it took like an hour and a half.
Dang.
It was terrible. It wasn't terrible. But the thing that I like, I've listened to this Adventure Zone podcast with the McElroy brothers and their dad. I've listened to their main storyline twice now. I finished it over the weekend for a second time.
Dang.
Because it's a comedy show through the prism of playing D&D.
Uh-huh.
And I think that... Now, listen, if this goes poorly, it's going to be because this isn't true. I think my housemates and I are all playing D&D with that as if we were also recording a podcast.
Okay. Just kind of mess around while you're playing Dungeons.
Yes, of course. That's what I want to do. And D&D as a as like a mechanism for that, it makes a ton of sense. But as I went through this website, dndbeyond.com, that's letter D, letter N, letter D, beyond.com, TurboTax for D&D character. It went through and I had to like randomize like my background and stuff. And so my background is that I come from a criminal slash spy background. I'm an experienced criminal with a history of breaking the law. I spent a lot of time among other criminals and have contacts within the criminal underworld. And also,
are you
see,
like a scumbag criminal, or are you like the puckish rogue kind of guy?
I think a pluckish rogue.
Okay.
But I am a sorcerer. Also, the personality traits I think are important here. Personality traits and ideals that were randomly assigned to me. I always have a plan for what to do when things go wrong. I'm always calm no matter what the situation. I never raise my voice or let my emotions control me. So I think this is a very cool-headed dragonborn
sounds more
sorcerer.
Serious, though.
See, I don't see it that way. I don't see him as serious. I see him as a bit... I see him as being empowered by his nihilism, you know?
Ah.
I'm cool on my feet. Nothing's going to ever get to me. None of this really matters that much. I'm stealing stuff and it's fine. No big deal. And I'm informing you of all of this so I can try to give him an appropriate name. My previous character was, oh man, this is so good. My previous character's whole thing was that he was a folk hero. But he didn't mean to be. He accidentally stole from this like corrupt merchant. Like, he stole on purpose. But I ended up finding out that it was viewed as this like great act of justice, when in reality that was not the intention at all whatsoever.
Oops.
Naming that character Dick Justice is literally 100% perfect. And so I'm saying, if I ever need that character again, Cold Brew is becoming Dick Justice. Not even a question. But I need to go back to the drawing board for Jorts Jackson, spelled JA'AXON, because it's D&D. Jaxon, maybe, I don't know. I'm open to ideas. I'm asking you in the moment, Beards. Anybody on Facebook or Twitter can also let me know.
I'm trying to think of anything good.
I was like, I wanted to play into how I intend to play D&D, which is while actively trying to ruin the experience for all my friends.
I've never been good at this naming thing for stuff like this. Like, whenever I'm making a character or whatever in any video game, I always are like, what do I want to name them?
Do you give characters your own name?
No. Because, like, in any game where you have a character creator or anything like that, I never make myself.
I guess that makes sense.
I just make kind of what I think would fit that play style.
Sure, that makes sense. No, that's a good call. I would make myself in, like, sports games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because they're sports games. But I see the point in that where you're like, yeah. I'm not naming this dragonborn sorcerer
Josh Briscoe.
No. I don't think I'm going to do that. And I am a fan of Jorts.
That's pretty good, though.
Jorts is pretty good.
Jorts Jackson isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's not. No. This is
it's solid.
This is the fallback plan.
Yeah.
If I don't get anything better from you or Facebook or Twitter, then tomorrow night when we start this campaign, it will be Jorts Jackson. Jorts singular, not Jorts plural. Jorts are the thing, but that's a worse name. It's also harder to say. I've checked Facebook and Twitter now, and I've gotten nothing, and it's really disappointing.
I can't think of anything.
Dick Justice is a pretty good suggestion.
It is.
I don't think it fits the character. As opposed to the wiener dog that we have that very obviously fits the character, because he deeply, deeply cares about justice.
He's a defense attorney in his free time.
Like, imagine how cool it would be if you walked into, like, an attorney's office and you're like,
and there was just a stuffed wiener dog sitting on the desk?
No, I mean, just any attorney, just as a human being at this point. And you walk in and go, Mr. Justice, thank you for hearing me out. He goes, no, please, call me Dick. The range of emotions you have there is literally the most extreme set of emotions possible. Going from calling your lawyer Richard... Damn it, I ruined my own joke. Calling your lawyer Justice to calling your lawyer Richard. What a dumb name is Richard. But I screwed up my own joke. Please help me come up with a better name. Call my Dragonborn Sorcerer LeBron James. Maybe I'll just, I have Brad Stevens and Dick Justice written down. Maybe this is going to be my character one and character two. I'll walk in tomorrow night with the Dragonborn Sorcerer, Brad Stevens, which honestly, I feel like he might be.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
LeBron or Jordan, Hitler or Stalin, next.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm going to tell you a headline here that I think is going to make you groan. And then I'm going to follow that up with a stat that is definitely going to make you groan.
Hey, you look like you haven't been paying attention to the news lately. Do you need a newspaper? I bet you do. Here's one. Take it. No, why are you giving it back?
From Pro Football Talk on Twitter. Beards, please turn your mic on just so I can hear if you do in fact groan.
Okay.
Don't look now, but Tim Tebow may be doing enough to justify an eventual bump to AAA.
Nah.
Follow up from at Royals Review. We'll talk to Max Reaper, who is behind Royals Review, tomorrow at 5. Tweet from Royals Review. Tebow has a higher OPS in AA than anyone on the Northwest Arkansas Naturals that has more than 50 at-bats. I told you the second one would get you. I told you if part one didn't get you, part two would.
Part one just felt like that, excuse me, that kind of clickbaity.
Of course.
Headline of.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's grown.
Here are 7 things you didn't know about your favorite movie.
100%. I had the same reaction. I saw that and went, that's why it was a groan to me. Like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tebow's going to get, he's going to get promoted. If Tim Tebow was in AA for the Royals, he would be the best player on the team. Oh! Mm. Tim Tebow, yeah, that Tim Tebow would be the best player on the Naturals.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, if that is not the perfect way to describe the state of the Royals currently, it's perfect. It is both precise and accurate.
Oh, boy.
The Royals did win.
They did.
I think it was 6 out of 9. Nice.
Nice. Nah, maybe.
I think it was. They won one series, finally, for the first time this season. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. We'll talk to Max Reaper from Royals Review tomorrow at 5.
There was also me staying last night until 1:30 because of the stupid 14-inning baseball game.
You know what? Let's save the Royals stuff for tomorrow. Tell me more about that interaction. You said the audio file was 7 hours long?
Yes. That includes an hour of pregame.
How many innings did it go?
14.
With 2 rain delays?
Yes. To start things off, it had 2 rain delays.
Like, so it never interrupted play, it just postponed?
No, it interrupted play twice.
Oh, Lord.
It was like all within the first couple innings.
I'm sorry.
Every time I run the Cubs games, they go long.
Who is playing?
Cubs Cardinals. Baez hit a home run in the 14th. I was super happy, and then the Cardinals came back and did a 2-run home run, so I didn't care at that point. I just got somebody scored.
You just pulled Baez out of nowhere. That is stunning to me.
He was my hero.
I can imagine. That's fantastic. All right, we'll be back tomorrow because that's how this works. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.